Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with Elizabeth and Katie. We are so blessed today to have actor Michael McGlone with us. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning, Michael.
Hello.
It's good morning to him because he's out in Los Angeles, Katie. I'm
That's
so
right.
jealous.
Yes.
Do you know what
I know.
Did yesterday, Michael? We are so fed up with, I said, you know, we did yesterday. We, Katie and I decided that we were so fed up with it almost being winter here because it dropped from, you know, like 80 degrees down to like, I don't know, it's like 50s and 60s. We drove around yesterday in our convertible with the top down with the heat on.
When I was first in Los Angeles on this trip, that's exactly what I did. I had a convertible originally. A Mustang, and I left the top down because I felt if you're in California, you got to have a convertible, and I turned the heat way up because it was not very warm when I first got here, and it's not very warm today, so maybe that's reassuring to you as well.
Oh, that feels good.
It's
that really feels good, Michael.
Yes, I thought you'd appreciate that, Katie. It's raining today, it's overcast, and it's probably about 58 degrees.
We all recognize
Hello?
Your voice.
Yeah. Now.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, thanks very much.
But, you know, you're not really from Los Angeles, though. You're from the East Coast.
No. This is a business trip. It's in support of a show that I'm giving on September 30th at Swing House, which is a music venue out here, and in search for the next film TV project. But I live in New York City on the Upper West Side.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we have to fess up a little bit. I have four boys, you know that, and they're all under age 15, and my kids.
Hello?
That is so
Hello.
Bizarre.
We were disconnected.
Did you hear
it may
just,
have
like,
been the result of
stuff up?
The cell phone reception at my apartment complex here. So I'm sorry if that was the case.
No, I don't
know.
It
was right
know.
In the middle
not...
of a confession.
It was a confession. It's better
so
to say
sorry
anyway.
I'm sorry to have interrupted your confession.
Confession? No, that's a sign. I don't know if I should know. My kids walk around, all four of them, boys, and they imitate you all the time.
Oh, my
guys
goodness.
In
I love
they, I mean,
that.
All I hear is, you know, and so... You know, all I hear is, does Randy Johnson know what's a bad, you know? And,
oh, that is hysterical.
Oh, it's hilarious. And then, you know, I told them today, this morning, who I was talking to on the phone, and they're like, no way, Mom. And I said,
oh,
yes.
Oh, please, thank those
so I think,
wonderful
I think
men for me.
Yeah, now, are you allowed to do, like, impressions of yourself? Like, are you allowed to...
Oh, yeah,
I
don't know if there's any kind of legal stipulation, but I think perhaps my using the name of the product might be at issue. But as far as the voice and the – yeah. But
yeah.
As far as
well,
using the
voice anyway.
and sounding as I sound, that's, of course, Michael McGlone, so – there's no ownership. There's no ownership question there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I just thought you might want to know that because it's cute.
I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell them that. I'm sure they'll listen back and everything. Now, your main website is michaelmcglone.com.
Yes, it
is. And of all the things on here, from film, music, theater, literature, books, voiceovers, everything. What's your favorite thing to do?
There isn't really one in the lead. They all have a very special and unique place in my life. And when I achieve my desired goals in any one of them, there's a reward to it that's really inexpressible. There's not a passion that supersedes another. They're all very, very equal to me.
Yeah. And how did you get started in this business? Did you go to college for this?
In the well, briefly. I was, as I say, self-graduated after 1 year. I went to NYU Tisch School of the Arts, which is a fine school, but the college atmosphere wasn't for me, and I thought that being in the real world was going to be more suitable to my personality, and as it turns out, it did work in my favor. What would have been my junior year in college was the year that I shot my first film, which was The Brothers McMullen, a film that I got through backstage, which was still is actually the most substantial actors trades back in New York. Eddie Burns, who wrote and directed that piece and also was one of the stars, had put an ad in the paper for this independent picture of three Irish-American brothers, et cetera, and I thought, well, shoot, I got to put in a headshot for this. And I did. He called. We got together, and after a couple of meetings, we decided that we were going to shoot this, and then I think it was probably a year and a half later, we were at Sundance, and we were fortunate enough to win. And
yeah,
so that was the beginning of that. Of that career for me.
So
that was such a great film. Oh,
thank
it was
you.
So
I
relatable.
It
was such a relatable film. You know, there wasn't anyone in that film you couldn't find a family member who you could relate to.
I love to hear that. And I've heard that of that film actually many times, I'm very grateful to say. It seems that seems to be the common thread of the likability of it, that people relate to it, that they feel comfortable with it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, who hasn't been in a situation where you don't know what to say, you want to say the right thing,
right.
You fumble all over it,
right.
And
yeah, sure.
And you just, yeah, and it's such
very
a
human.
Great, it is, it's very human, and it just about every other kind of relationship you have, not just male-female, but the father,
sure,
oh, my God, I love that part. That's so wonderful.
Are we talking about Brothers McMullen, or are we talking about She's the One?
No, Brothers and McMullen. I'm sorry, I meant the
okay.
The brothers. Yes, I was mixing
oh, okay.
the two, but absolutely,
oh,
I think
people associate the two definitely for good reason.
Yep. So I have a question for you. Go ahead, Lisa.
No, you go, Katie. Go for it.
We're trying to figure out how to ask questions when we can't see each other, and it's difficult. So if we talk on top of each other, forgive us.
At all.
One question I always like to ask is, you know, how did you get there, Michael? What was something that really helped you persevere and when you decided you wanted to do this kind of work? What helped you the most?
That's a wonderful question. I would have to say it's a gift that I've received to believe in myself a great deal, and to even when things seem to be reflecting reasons for discouragement, to ignore anything that would dissuade you from your goal and continue on. And that belief, that conviction and perseverance is in fact I find most important aspect of all of this, because you come up against so much sometimes very unpleasant rejection and negativity. And if you don't have
I mean, really, because there's this perception that, you know, once you're in a movie, you're a piece of cake, you got it made. You're, you know,
it's definitely
Michael Malone,
not the
darn
case.
It. You know, you've been in this one and that one and another one.
It's definitely not the case. And actually, as the great thought goes, success can test your mettle even more than the greatest adversary. And so it's there are all kinds of different issues that you come up against. And just knowing who you are, what you want, and being true to yourself and believing in yourself in a very, very real and unshakable way is, I find, the most important thing. Because that's one thing that will not desert you, because you there's only so far you can go. I mean, you're always going to be right where you are.
That's my favorite, my absolute favorite thing about you, and you're very true to yourself, and I get that in the conversations that we've had previously, or emails, or anything. And your personal life, you're very serious about taking care of yourself and so forth. And I know we're kind of a more girly show and things like that, being, you know, best of you and all this stuff, but, you know, guys take care of themselves too. And for all the male listeners that we have here, and even the female listeners, could you share with us some of the things that you do to take care of yourself, such as running or eating right and so forth?
Because sure.
It speaks to who you are. You're just...
Well, thank you so much. I take that as a high compliment, and taking care of myself is connected to my self-love, and I think for all of us that's really a very important aspect of a healthy life, to treat yourself well in a way that's also healthy for you is indispensable to not only a long life but a full and beautiful one. What I do, which I did before we got on the telephone, every morning is take herbs, vitamin C, and other essential minerals in a drink. I also take organic sulfur every morning in this same routine, and I take lemon water before I have my caffeine. And I do have a good deal of caffeine. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have to have that. It's one of the only drugs left to me. Because I don't drink alcohol, and I don't do any other drugs outside of nicotine. That's a contradiction actually to some of the healthier aspects of my routine. But I do still smoke a moderate amount. But in terms of the routine and the healthful benefits, there's the lemon water, the organic sulfur, the herbs, the vitamins, the minerals. And I run every day. Well, I shouldn't say every day, because I took yesterday off. So 6 out of 7 days I'll run, and I'll run anywhere from 3.4 to 5 miles. And I also keep my thoughts positive, and I keep my focus positive, and I meditate generally throughout the day, not in a still way, not in the way that you think of meditation in stillness, but thought and focus and positivity constantly emanating from my thoughts and my action.
Going back to the running for a minute.
Yeah.
Get back to the run. Have you ever run so far that you don't know how you're going to get back to your house? My son did that the other day.
No, it was so long ago that I it's hard to remember. I don't think that has happened to me. Well, one time when I was 12 years old, I decided that I was going to take a run, and I hadn't run in a long time, and I just started going, and I didn't have a route. So I think on that day, perhaps that was potentially an issue, because at some point I had to find my way back, and I wasn't sure if I was certain how to do that. But I also gave myself a knee injury that day as well, because I ran 6 miles out of the box, and I hadn't done anything athletic in months, maybe even over a year. So I came home, and my mother was shaking her head at the pain in my knee, because I told her I'd just done 6 miles, and she said, you know, that's just insane.
So did you go? It's funny. My son just did that. He got out, he went off on his bike and called saying, you know, I don't think I'm going to be able to get back home. I'm too tired.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, thank God,
did you go and pick him up?
He got on his bike and took his cell phone. So, you know, and got him. It was pretty
funny. That's one of the benefits of kids having cell phones. So there you are.
Well,
yeah,
I think it teaches you just about, you know, at 12 years old, 15 years old, whatever, to kind of figure out what your limitations are.
Right, sure.
Do you have, in your life, do you have anything that you're just awful at?
My mind operates in the creative and the artistic field so substantially that when I look at what these gentlemen do and these women do in biology and chemistry and rocket science, it's really mind-boggling. I admire it so much. And I read about it, and I actually love to read about it because there's so much about time and space and biology and chemistry that's ultimately fascinating. But it's so different. It's such a different way of thinking. It's so much more analytical than the artistic translation of analysis that I really am very happy just to leave it up to Stephen Hawking and respect him as duly as he should be respected. So, yes, as far as a scientific way of thinking, that would be something that I acknowledge as less than totally possible for me.
Wow. Stephen Hawking is probably one of the most brilliant men on earth, and listening to him, it just makes your jaw drop. Deepak Chopra were on Larry King, and honestly, I was so thrilled that I actually understood about 80% of what they said.
that's wonderful. That's not easy.
It is not.
I respect that. That is really it's a different way of thinking.
It is. It is a very different way of thinking, and there is its own language to that world. And
absolutely.
I happen to, and it's taken me a few years to really be able to understand what Deepak is saying, but I really appreciate what he's saying. But, you know, going back to one of the things you said, Michael, I'm really curious, what are some of your mantras that you repeat to yourself that keep you going in this positive direction? It sounds like you're a very thoughtful human being.
Well, thank you. I am, and it has to do with wanting the most rewarding and beautiful life. And I acknowledged some time ago that would not be possible unless a certain amount of work went into it. And that work is constant. As far as detailed, repeated mantras, I don't have them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at a situation, even if it is passing someone in the hall, having a conversation with someone at a coffee shop, or something on the larger scale, you're talking to your mother or a family member or a lover, to be guided by what you consider to be the most positive expression of yourself and the most positive expression of your values and the most positive expression of values in general, that you respect yourself and you respect others and you wish fundamentally to share yourself in a way that enhances the world and does not detract.
That's beautiful. Someone taught you well. Did you learn that from your family?
I can't say that it was directly from my family. I'm sure that my family is a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that it's a gift that I've been given. Just because as a child I identified early on that I enjoyed feeling happy. And we all enjoy feeling happy, of course. But I was coming from an environment where there was negativity as well. And so there was this there was this combat between the two forces. And it was clear to me that I was given a nature that wanted to express positive things on a regular basis, but there were these other things that intervened as well. And not only from the outside, but from inside myself as well. I comprised negative capacities as well. And as I grew up, I realized that I wanted to have the most positive experience out of my life, and so I had to think about these things in order to do that. So, yes, my family is definitely a part of it. My mother, my siblings, the love that I've received there, their thoughtfulness, absolutely. But the philosophy is a gift from God, and it's one that is not has been presented to many, many people. You know, it's if you really think about the best life for you and those around you, you're going to find that you come to similar conclusions as people have throughout history, because it's a pretty fundamental truth.
Right.
Now, about happy and so forth, just to kind of, we only have like eight or 9 minutes left.
Sure.
You're really funny, too. That's one thing.
Thank you.
You are not always so serious. You're really, really funny. And the George Carlin, Christopher Walken bit is priceless. But
thank you so much.
Do you enjoy that aspect of life as well, the comedy part of acting, or are you always doing a lot of serious stuff? Or I mean, what I was, you know, getting around to kind of some of the things with, just a couple minutes left, like what's next for you, what's coming up, you know, all of it.
Well, Elizabeth, as Christopher Walken would tell you, Michael McGrone loves a good laugh. He really does. He loves to make people laugh. He loves to laugh. He loves to express comedy. He's, not always so serious and focused on the most positive existence. Well, he is, but the most positive existence, of course, would have to involve laughter as well, because it's so fundamentally a part of happiness itself.
Does he call you
I hope
you
that answers
that?
Your question. What's that?
Does he call you when you do that and say, what are you doing?
Oh, no, I have yet to have the pleasure of meeting him, but I've heard stories about meeting with him, and, they're as unique as he is, the story.
Yeah. Is there anybody else you can impersonate like that, or do an impression of like that?
I recently had to do my Richard Burton impersonation for a show that I was in called Celebrity Autobiography, which was actually quite a lot of fun. And I've done people over the years.
That's neat. That's a gift too.
Carson, Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, and it was always a lot of fun. Impression is a great deal of fun, especially when other people are taking such pleasure in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So what's,
I'm glad you like that so
much.
what's
coming up for you? You're very focused on your music.
Yes, I have my show on September 30th, which is at a place called Swing House. If anyone would like more information about that, they can go to my website, michaelmcglone.com, click on Music and Performances, and get all the necessary information to attend the show. And I am also looking forward to settling business on the next film and or TV project, and that's what this trip is primarily about.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so you can't tell us what it is. Did I get it?
I can't because I don't know what it is yet. So it's
well,
still actually suspended in the unknown.
Yeah. So, Katie, what else did you – I know you had some more things that you wanted to ask him before we go.
Well, my daughter would shoot me if I didn't ask him what it's like to work with a gecko.
That's a different campaign, so that we don't intersect.
We were wondering if you were the voice of the gecko too. Or...
Oh no, that's another gentleman. I believe his name is Jake Wood, and he's a wonderful English actor. But no, I have not intersected with the CGI lizard.
What about all your books and your writing and your poetry and everything? What's your you've got quite a passion there as well.
I do indeed, and I look forward to the greater exposure of my literature to the world. I'm currently still looking for the right relationship to bring that.
Well, Michael, can you tell the audience what your literature is about? I'm really,
well,
I love.
Varies, of course, book to book and poem to poem, but there are three of my novels that deal with the Irish-American experience in various periods of the 20th century. One is a story of Irish-American runaway brothers in 1925 in New Haven. Another is 1946, the Bronx. And the other is 1952, Hell's Kitchen, Irish, which is called And All the Roses Dying.
I see. Okay, great.
So those are three of the books, and then there's another more contemporary piece. But, yeah, they vary. And each story, even though it's Irish-American, of course, has a different pulse and a different energy and spirit and personality. So.
Yeah, there's definitely, you're not lacking in the smarts department, that's for sure. My goodness gracious.
Oh, well, thank
so
you.
Talented.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it is.
Katie, if you're interested,
honor.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the things I love about this show is we get to hear all sides of people's lives. And when you appear on a commercial or in a film, we see unidimensional who you're playing in the part. But I love to know the true story behind the human being. And this is really cool. I'd love to read your work.
So glad. Well, if you would like to see if the style is to your liking, as a start, you can go to michaelmaglone.com, and there are selections from at least two of my books there. And one of them, even as you're reading it, I can read it to you. That's
so
from.
We have 1 minute to go.
Oh, okay.
All the Rose
yeah,
so michaelmaglone.com on literature, you can see what that is, Katie.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
So everybody, I want to thank you again. You are just a gem, and just love talking to you, and I appreciate you coming on to our rookie radio show. We appreciate you.
This has been a delight. You're both delightful women, and this has been a great pleasure for me, so thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Michael.
You're welcome, Katie.
We have a little bit more time, so just a slight. I just want everybody to know that you can go to michaelmaglone.com. And then also, people can find you on Facebook, too. Do you like people finding you on Facebook? Or,
sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
I welcome it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right there, and it's really you. You answer your own stuff. It's another thing.
That is true.
Most people hide behind somebody else administering their Facebook. But it is really actually you. And one of the things I noticed there is you genuinely respond to everyone as well. So when someone says, hey, Michael, I really liked you in that movie, you say, thank you. It's nice talking to you.
I do indeed. I respond individually to individual messages, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful, because I'll do that. I'm going to Facebook
to Katie,
Michael.
Please do. Yes, absolutely.
So, all right. And then is there, there's only 30 seconds left, so anything else you want to say? I hope everybody goes to your show.
Well, thank
again,
you very much.
Where is it?
It is at Swing House in Los Angeles, which is on the corner of Willoughby and Formosa. And as I say, you can go to michaelmaglone.com, click on music and performances, and you'll get all the information.
All right.
Great.
Thank you, everybody.
Great.
And all our best.
Thank you.
And Katie.
Have the best ever day. Bye.
All right. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.